Welcome to Heartsbeat Podcast, episode 286, Synchronizing with the Perfect Symmetry of the Universe.
Welcome to the Heartsbeat Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, hello there, wherever you are in the world. It's good to be back with you. Thank you for joining me. I've just returned from a trip to England, seeing friends and family, and this whole question of synchronicities really played itself out during that trip. And we have a lot of actions taking place in the next month. And I thought that I want to kind of describe these to you in a very symmetrical way so that you're aligning to them. So what happened when I was in Britain? So I'm going to take you back a few steps and really help you to understand why this was so important and why I'm sharing this, particularly at the time of the spring equinox. So about 30 years ago, I was visiting the island of Rhodes in Greece, and particularly the town of Rhodes, city of Rhodes. And I'm there with my family and I'm climbing the cobbled steps and walking along cobbled streets. And all of a sudden, I slip into a parallel life. And this parallel life, past life, if you wish to call it that, saw me now with a very heavy black cloak on and heavy boots. And I'm definitely a man and I'm striding up this street. And I have a sense of some cross on this cloak, but that wasn't really important. It was really the determination that I had as this man to climb the street and also the worry that was in my mind. And what I remember thinking as this man was, something's not going right. This isn't the way it was meant to be. And I felt as if I was going towards a meeting where I was going to share my thoughts, share my opinions. And then all of a sudden, a child cried, and what had been a 13th, 14th century street was now back to being a 20th century street. And I looked around, and here's all the people who, like me, were tourists in that time. But as I reflected on that slip into that parallel life, it reminded me, or perhaps brought sense to me, as to why at the age of 11 in this life, I had joined what is known as the St. John's Ambulance. And this is a first aid group that runs alongside the Red Cross, especially in countries like Britain and New Zealand, etc. And I thought, wow, probably from that age of 11 to 18, I couldn't wait to wear that uniform again and return to this time that was clearly something I related to back in that city of Rhodes. And what I understood was that back in the 11th century in Jerusalem, it was very common for people to take pilgrimages, as it is even today, to sacred sites. And one of the pilgrimages was to go to the Holy Land, especially to Jerusalem. And if you were going to go there, you needed to have people who would take care of you if you got sick or along the journey, or even if when you arrived in the Holy Land. And that's why the Order of St. John Hospitallers was set up at that time. And soon after, the Catholic Church, the Christian Church, took over this area of the Holy Land. And so it became more of a Catholic order, where previously it had been an order for everybody. So I, as a hospitaller, was helping anybody, whatever your religion. It was just merely that you were a pilgrim. And what then went on was that this Order of St. John became more militarized, as they all do, and merged somewhat with the Knights Templars, of whom I have also made those connections. But they had tendency to be more associated with a Red Cross rather than mine, this silver black cross. And what then happened was that these hospitallers went on, they moved to Cyprus after they were somewhat kicked out of the Holy Land. Then they went to Rhodes and then they went to Malta. And hence this experience I was having on the island of Rhodes, particularly during that time. And I think that was around the 14th, 15th century. Eventually they ended up, as I say, in Malta. And I had visited the vast hospital that is still there in Valletta on the island of Malta. You have to go on a tour, but it was a very advanced hospital, as I understand, in those days, understanding the need for antiseptic care, etc., and had the ability to deal with injuries and other issues, infections, etc., far advanced of anybody else in the world at that time. Now, I tell all that story because I was investigating the St. John's Ambulance, I was so surprised to find that there is actually a St. John's Priory in what we call Farringdon near King's Cross in Britain. And it was like, I never knew. Who knew? I always say. And there's a St. John's Gate, a gate into this priory that still stands. It was reconstructed somewhat in the, I think, 1500s, 1600s. But I booked to go there and a dear friend joined me and we went into the priory, we went into the crypt, we learned all the history. And I was like, oh my goodness, this started off in the 11th century and my connection had been very rich throughout that time with it. And here it was back in the time of one of Queen Victoria's sons made the decision to create this first aid group alongside the Red Cross. And most of the people who had been at the top of this order had been royalty, etc. And this organization still runs. So I was really immersing myself in all the mysteries of both the Knights Templar and then as well as the Hospitallers, and I had quite a lot of knowledge about both. And then on another day, I invited a friend to come and join me to walk or to visit one of the places on what we call the Bellinus or the Ellen Line, which go north-south of Britain, rather than the Ley Line, which is known as the Mary Michael line that crosses really west to east. So I said, well, come on, let's go and visit this hill called St. Catherine's Hill. And I understand that this is where these two meet. And it felt very appropriate because here we were very close to the equinox. It is today that I'm actually recording this. And the equinox means equal day, equal night. So I said, how wonderful. This is where this masculine line, the Bellinus line, meets the Ellen line, which is the feminine, on top of this hill, St. Catherine's Hill. Let's have that unity experience, this coming together of the duality in this place. So here we went there, and we're thoroughly enjoying and feeling this energy of this almost like a Catherine wheel. We decided that's really one of the relevances of this place. The energy was spinning, bringing something amazing out of the center. And then we look across and there is a labyrinth. In fact, an identical labyrinth to the Chartres labyrinth, which is a 13 rooted labyrinth. I can't think of the right word, but 13 pathways labyrinth. And I said, well, fancy the Buddha Yashat labyrinth, because it's not the most common labyrinth and they're quite complex, but it was there. And as we look down the hill, here is this beautiful Norman church or Norman chapel, as I learned it was. And this was called the Church of the Holy Cross, and it was connected to the Hospitallers. And it was set up by some of the high ups in the Knights Templar back in the 1300s or 1200s to give alms and food and needs, meet the needs of the people in that time in and around the city of Winchester, which is in the south of England and was originally the capital of Britain or capital of England at least. So I'm telling you all of that because I couldn't believe that here I am 2 days after I'd had one revelation being taken to a place in a synchronous way to literally explore another part of this cycle. So you might say, well, what does this matter? Why bother? So first of all, let's just say, yes, the 20th of March is the spring equinox here in the Northern Hemisphere. And that is equal day, equal night. But it represents the return of the sun to the earth. And if you're lucky enough to be in Chichen Itza in Mexico, and you are there by the pyramid that is there, this pyramid has been designed specifically with a feathered serpent at the bottom and the great head at the top of this pyramid. And as the sun is setting, you literally can imagine, because of the design, that this serpent is winding itself down the pyramid steps until it enters into the head of the feathered serpent. And this is Kukulcan, or for some people it might be Quetzalcoatl, but the feathered serpent represents the guardian, the patron, the god of life. So bringing that life force down to the earth, the return of Kukulcan, this everything's going to be abundant now, everything's going to be wonderful now. And this is an experience I haven't had, but I know it is a magical experience. And to be able to design the steps of this pyramid so that they are triangles that represent and look like, as the sun's shadow touches it, like a serpent coming down, is magical. And again, I'm trying to say, this is symmetry. This is universal design on earth, heaven on earth. And I think this is really the story of our times, bringing heaven onto earth. And throughout the sacred sites I visit, this is the magic I see. How do we bring a cosmic plan onto earth and create it? And I just want to say that I've produced a Earth Mysteries video on Angkor Wat that we just visited, very much creating mandala of the beauty of the cosmos here on earth. So do watch out for that. It's going to be published very soon. So the equinox is about bringing together two sides into harmony. So is this idea, as I say, of bringing heaven onto earth through the feathered serpent. So it's a time of not necessarily going out of your body. It's about, what are you planting? And those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, it's about, what are you planting? What are the seeds, the projects? And if you're here in, well, let me two things I want to say. One is Easter. So Easter is a time of renewal. It's a time of rebirth. But it has been, again, distorted. I'm going to say distorted because so much does get distorted by the Catholic Church moving it away from the new moon, taking it to the full moon. The full moon really doesn't have any relevance, if I want to say, about death and rebirth. It's more about success, celebration. So by moving it almost 2 weeks towards that full moon, it's taken away the relevance of what Easter was about. And whether you celebrate Easter or not, those 3 days, you've heard me speak about 3 days before, the 3 days are very essential. It takes 3 days for you to die, to connect, to be reborn. Takes 3 years after losing someone you love. Grief is often 3 years. Takes the first year to die to the old, to stay in the new energy, and then be reborn on that third year. So 3 is a magical number. I often say the waxing moon, the waning moon, the dark moon, 3 parts of the lunar cycle. So by putting Easter at the wrong time of the month, it's a really good job to make sure that we never connect, because that middle day of connection is really the power day. So we die on that first day, as we might say, Yeshua or Jesus died on the cross. He was then put into the cave, and the cave is both a womb and a tomb. So he went into the cave where he connected to all that he was, to the great mother, to the ocean of possibilities, whatever you want to call it, and then was reborn, but now into his light body. And so this reminder for us is we have to die to the old, we have to connect to the fullness of who we are, And when we do that, we actually emerge in the lightness of who we are, or more enlightened, more in our light body, until we fully stand in our light body, which is what Jesus was trying to show us when he said, please don't touch me because it's my light body, not my physical body. He was trying to say, follow this pattern and it will get you where you want to be. But hey, no, let's put it by the full moon, which has no relevance to that at all. So when you come to Easter, please remember that that's the important part. If you want to make it Good Friday, you can then make it the Saturday. And then the Sunday is, of course, the time where people collect Easter eggs and celebrate Easter. But that's the message of Easter. Well, so we're moving on, and I'm still going to come back to Chartres and talk about that. But then on the 8th of April, and again, we'll be talking to you before then, but is this total solar eclipse that just happens to be going across a lot of the more eastern side of the United States, coming up through Mexico, out through Canada. Now, obviously, there are other countries it's going to cross. Why is this important? What's a solar eclipse? A solar eclipse is when the moon exactly covers the sun from our perspective on the earth. And all we see is a ring of light around it. What does it symbolize? It symbolizes, guess what? Letting go, going into the darkness, the deepness, being introspective, and then being reborn as we see the sun again. Fantastic. Wonderful connection here. And symmetry? Do you think there's symmetry in this? Oh, yes. The sun is 400 times larger than the moon, but it's also 400 times further away than the moon. So from our perspective, the moon is able to actually fully cover the face of the sun. Who did that? Unity consciousness. That's magic. That's symmetry. That's what I'm wanting to say, is that when we get it right, we flow synchronistically. In other words, when we're open to new ideas, when we're willing to let go of what we thought we were here for, when we're willing to let go of the old, everything lines up. Synchronicity, timing, placing, just as I had that experience. But when we're holding on to the old, we're not going to let go. No, you can't make me die on the cross. No, you can't make me let go. Make me let go. Or I stay in the darkness for far too long. I like being in this place of nothingness. Or we run out into the sun too quickly, or out into the sunlight too quickly. It's like the caterpillar that doesn't want to die, the energy of the cocoon that doesn't want to be reborn, or the butterfly that's born far too quickly and dies because its wings aren't formed. So timing is everything, but each stage is important. And we keep doing this on our breath, out breath, hold, in breath. Doesn't matter. It's there all the time. So on this April the 8th, we have this total solar eclipse in America, or part of America. And we have lots of total solar eclipses. In fact, every 18 months, there's another total solar eclipse. And each eclipse is on its own cycle. This cycle, this is called a Saros cycle, or S-A-R-O-S. And the Saros cycle, this particular eclipse is on Saros cycle 139, for what it's worth. What does this mean? It means that every 18 years and 11 days, you will have an eclipse, total eclipse, happening at the same latitudinal place, but somewhere else on the earth. So 18 years, I'm going to say, you'll have a total solar eclipse, and it will be at that same latitude. However, every 3 times a Saras cycle, 54 years, it will be in the same place as it was for 54 years before. In other words, the placement of this particular eclipse crossing the line, as I say, more up the eastern side of the United States, is actually happened 54 years ago. And that was in 1970. So if you were around in 1970 and you want to understand why or how it could affect you, and you do live in the United States, for instance, then it's worth looking at. Now, I was at a total solar eclipse in Britain in 1999. So I could take 54 years back and align myself to what went on there. But it will be 2053 before the next one happens in exactly the same place, which was in Plymouth in England. Hope that makes sense. So solar eclipses happen regularly. It is this total alignment. I won't go into more details of that, but where the moon is able to black out the sun because of both the size of the moon to the sun and the distance of the moon to the sun. Brilliant. But if you want to know what's going on, then it's a time for I'm letting go, I'm going deep, I'm being reborn, especially since this solar eclipse is in Aries. It's on a new moon. That's why it always happens that way. It's a new moon. So new moon, the moon is in Aries. The sun is in Aries, Chiron is in Aries, and of course the North Node is in Aries, but that makes a solar eclipse. Now, I'll talk more about that another time, but I just want to say Aries is about starting something new. So I think this is a really good time for something new. It does have a quality, a little bit of a quality of let's go to war, let's not go to war. But the fact of the matter is it's about firing up for something new and exciting to appear that's never been there before. Now, to finish this, and I hope I'm getting you excited. I know I'm giving you a lot of information, but I'm trying to say is nothing's happening by chance. And when we align sun, moon, earth, or what's going on in on a cosmic level or a galactic level, everything has a symmetry to it. Everything's playing out just as it should. If we get out of our own way, listen to our intuition, follow those synchronicities, everything is just right. So my last piece is on this Chart Labyrinth. The Chart Labyrinth has that same quality. If you want to look it up, you can. It has 4 quadrants, 13 paths, as I say. And on the outside, you let go of what you thought you came here to do. You go through the earth, air, fire, water, whichever cycles you want to go through. But you end up in the center. And you end up in the center, some would say, with the Virgin Mother. But otherwise, you can say with the Great Mother, the place of emptiness. And then you, with any labyrinth, you walk out the same way. In some ways, you go back the path and you come back and you take on all the energy and you become something new. So you're letting go into the nothing. You are then reborn out of the nothing into everything. And it is said that that's why the Knights Templar, the knights who were going off to the pilgrimages, off to the Jerusalem or the Holy Land, would stay in this place, the Hospitaller's Place that I was mentioning, Hospital of the Holy Cross, but they would then, before they went to battle, they would go and walk the labyrinth and they would bring themselves into balance with the highest energy of the universe, letting go of what they thought it was about and aligning to the symmetry of the universe up on this hill. And if you go to Chart Cathedral had many iterations to it. It was often burnt down, et cetera, because of fires and being built of wood. But if you go to Chart Cathedral, it was built again by the Knights Templar in the 13th, 14th century and has been added to. But it is never meant to have been a place of even worship or even there was nothing buried there, no bodies. It was a place of symmetry, geometry, and beauty. And the west door is beautiful and has a west window. And underneath that west window is this labyrinth that I'm mentioning, built into the ground, big chunks of rock or stone. So it's not just painted on. It was literally designed into the floor. And it is said that if you take the west wing, this beautiful stained glass window in the west, which represents the divine light, and you bend it down, it completely covers beautifully the chart labyrinth that's on the floor. And it represents, the labyrinth represents our journey in light, in life. And the window represents the divine light that is guiding you. And I just love that. So I'm going to finish with that. I hope I've given you some inspiration. The divine light is always with us when we step out of our smallness, when we tap into that, because we have that divine light in us. And then our journey is guided all the way. And we cannot be inspired, not be inspired, and live in those synchronicities, because we are carrying that divine light. Wishing you a happy time, and we will talk next week. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all Heart Speak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. Heart Speak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Tumblr, and now playing on Amazon Music and iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcast on Christine's channel on YouTube and now on Rumble. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.